Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. We do have our pastor joining us at this point, Pastor Isaac Mushimbwa. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing that side?
We're doing very well, Pastor, this side. How's Lusaka this afternoon?
Lusaka is bright and quite hot, but we are fine.
You are coping very well, eh?
Yeah, we are coping very well. I don't know how you are doing that side.
We are coping very well. Weather has been fantastic. Not too hot, not too cold, but beautiful, cool weather today, I think in its 20s. Thank you so much for asking. Well, now we are going to be continuing. We're talking about the armor of God. And Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16 says, Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Number 15 says, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In number 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil. Now, Pastor, do please explain to us this scripture from verse 15. What does it mean to have your feet fitted with the gospel of peace? Hello, Pastor. Pastor Mushimbwa.
The imagery that we have been using, which is the Roman soldier. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Are you getting me?
Yes, I now
get you. Yes, I can hear you.
I now get you. Thank you so much.
Okay. So I'm saying, when we get back to the imagery that we have been using of a Roman soldier, we see that he was wearing boots. Now, these boots were not just ordinary boots for the soldier. They were special boots in that they had the spikes down there. Just the way you see the modern football boots, the way they are made, that's how the Roman soldier boots were. Now, this was for the soldier to have a strong grip during battle. He could not afford to slide and fall when fighting the enemy. They were to give him grip.
Yep.
Now, to us as Christians, the boots represent the gospel.
Ah, okay.
Now, the question is, in the book of, in the Bible, book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 16, it reads, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on earth, unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The question is, and then what is the gospel? The gospel, which is everlasting, that will never cease to exist. It is actually the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, listen to what Ellen White in the book Desire of Ages, chapter 1, has to say about this science of the cross. She says, our literal world is the lesson book of the universe. God is wonderful purpose of grace, the mystery of redeeming love, is the theme into which angels desire to look, and it will be their study throughout endless ages. Both the redeemed and the unfallen beings we will find in the cross of Christ their science and their song. So, the theme that the angels and you, the redeemed people and the unfallen beings, will ever desire to look and try to learn and understand is the death of Christ on the cross. So, this death of Christ on the cross gives us the impetus to move forward as in a Christian life. It is the anchor. This is the solid ground that we have. No matter what the devil does to us, as soon as we crawl to the devil, we claim the promises of Christ or God given to us on the cross, we become victorious. So we are actually advised to cling to the cross. Actually, to me, the great controversy ended when Jesus died on the cross.
Okay.
If you remember, as he was dying, he exclaimed, it is finished, meaning the battle has been won. Nothing the devil can do to conquer us because it has been won. So the battle ended, or the great controversy ended, on that Friday afternoon when Christ hung there and claimed it is finished.
Well, beautiful response there. Now, how do we prepare or make ourselves ready for battle with the gospel of peace? It sounds like counterintuitive. I mean, we're putting on an armor of war and we're fighting with the gospel of peace. Let's make sense of that, please.
No, we are not really. What it is you are right, but what it is when now we have this assurance in the cross. Now, as we have said, it is the anchor. It is the source of power. Now, what happens to us is that what should happen to us, how we prepare, is this. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work a change in us.
Okay.
Now, when that has happened, we will surrender our will and our heart to God and become acquainted with Christ, which means self would die, would have to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, you read from actually 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Now, when we read here, we come up with it.
Yes, Pastor.
Until self is crucified, there is no beginning at all. There must be a radical, actually, and deliberate total surgery of self. Now, when we surrender and we allow Christ to come into our lives and to take possession of our lives, that means that is the starting of our victory. That is the preparation that we need to move forward in this battlefield. God cannot cooperate with us when there is no total surrender. There is no partial surrender, but total surrender. Once we have given ourselves to Him, then He is ready to take us as we are and move us forward in this battle. Therefore, we will have the devil if we do that. Jesus Himself in Matthew 16 verse 24 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. So it's the issue of total surrender and allowing Christ to actually move us forward. So it's not our own doing, but once we prepare our room, our hearts, then we are ready to move forward in this battlefield.
Yeah. Now, let's look at verse number 16. It talks about the shield of faith. What is that shield of faith? I mean, what does that mean?
Okay. When we're talking of the shield of faith, again, going back to the Roman soldier, we are saying he had a shield which was about 6 feet high and 2 feet wide. It was made of strong wood and leather. No, put on the iron frame. Now, what was the purpose? It was the purpose of blocking any arsenal, any bullet, any spear that was thrown at the soldier in the battlefield. To us, the shield is faith. The shield is the faith. Now, the question can be asked, or before I answer the question, now, when we read from Hebrews 1 and 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists.
Yeah, yeah.
And that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, we have not seen God. We have never touched God. We have never believed that He is there. Now, when So faith is indispensable in our Christian warfare. It is it is actually fundamental to Christian life and victory.
Yeah.
Now, what is faith? Faith is trusting God, believing that he loves us and that he knows what is best for us and in our lives. It is faith that leads us actually to accept his wisdom and his leadership. Now, also when we have faith, we entrust ourselves and our lives to him. It is actually faith that makes us claim the righteousness of Christ to be our own righteousness. Okay? In another writing, the writer says, it is the act of the soul by which the whole man is given unto the guardianship and control of Jesus Christ. He abides in Christ, and Christ abides in him. So that is what faith does. So without faith, then we are not moving forward, or we are not protected in any way or another. So we must have faith. We must believe and trust that whatever God has promised us, whatever he has said, when he has given us his son, Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life, we must just know and understand that it is what he has said. So without faith, we cannot praise God. God is actually saddened when we see that we are in our battlefield. So it is cardinal that we have this faith.
Yeah, and you're saying it's extremely important that we have this faith. The basis of this importance?
Yes. Actually, if you read from the book entitled On Our High Calling, page 126, why is this faith important? It will remind you as follows. When clouds come between your soul and God, when all around you is dark and forbidding, when the enemy stands ready to rob the soul of its integrity to God and the truth, and when error stands rushable and attractive, then at that time, pray and exercise faith in God. Then when you do that, she says, the soul is unable to raise beyond itself and penetrate the hellish shadow which the enemy cast on our pathway to every soul that is striving for.
Now, what are some of the things, as we conclude the conversation, that would hinder our faith?
One of the things that will hinder our faith is doubt.
Doubt.
Now, when we doubt that God will not do what he has said he will do, then we cannot claim or obtain the promises of God.
Yeah.
When we doubt, that means we mistrust God. We put aside his word. And then when we have no assurance in God, then it becomes dangerous, because we keep on asking ourselves, will God do what he has said he will do? What if he doesn't do? So doubt is dangerous. And another thing that actually makes us not obtain this is you not exercising your faith. God needs or loves to be challenged in our lives. You remember the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years? She exercised faith by believing and trusting that once I touch the garment of the of Christ, then I'll be healed. She didn't trust that the garment had power, but the one who was wearing the garment. So exercising faith, she moved forward and touched, and immediately she was healed. So if you don't exercise faith, then you will not actually claim or obtain the promises of God. Disbelief, disbelief just simply means you will never say it will happen. So God has no room in your life Therefore, you cannot be a partner to God and you cannot claim his promises. So when we do all these things, then we'll miss out from the promises of God. We'll not actually claim them.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, and we do hope that we're going to be connecting one more time to you, with you rather, tomorrow, and also finishing it off on Friday. But for this afternoon, I truly, truly appreciate for coming and, of course, honoring our appointment.
Thank you very much. Be blessed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.